Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Living Beyond Breast Cancer webinar. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator or technical assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Ms. Janine Guglielmino. Thank you. You may begin.
Thanks, Diego, and hi, everyone, and welcome to Part 2 of Living Beyond Breast Cancer's February webinar series focusing on breast reconstruction. Today, we'll discuss using your own tissue to rebuild your breast. I want to thank all of you for taking time out of your day to join us. Again, my name is Janine Guglielmino, and I'm Director of Programs and Strategic Initiatives at LBBC. I'm very privileged to serve as your moderator. At LBBC, we know that for some women, breast reconstruction plays a very important role in your emotional recovery from breast cancer treatment. We also know that many women have a hard time getting timely, useful, and practical information about making what can be very complicated decisions about rebuilding your breast or breasts, whether you're choosing to do that at the time of your breast cancer surgery or in the months and years afterward. Our goal today is to give you some background to help inform these important and complicated decisions. So just to give you a sense of what we're hoping to cover today, we'll talk about rebuilding the breast using your own body tissue after mastectomy. So this will include things like the deep tram, latissimus dorsi flap, and other free flap procedures. The impact these surgeries can have on your recovery, your long-term physical strength and range of motion. A bit about rebuilding the nipple and areola, and some decision-making tips you can take with you moving forward. For those interested in implant reconstruction, I would encourage you to listen to the podcast from the first part of this series. We won't be speaking at length today about implants, but the podcast should answer many of your questions about it, and you can find that on lbbc.org. So we'll start our program today with a presentation by our speaker, Dr. Karen Horton, followed by time for you to ask questions by phone or computer, and we'll provide instructions for how to do that after Dr. Horton's presentation. I'd like to thank Mentor and the Plastic Surgery Foundation for the financial support that made this important webinar possible, and very much thank Dr. Horton for being with us today, for sharing her expertise with you, and for donating her time as a speaker. Just a couple of housekeeping notes before we get started. If you need to leave the program early or are just joining us, please visit lbbc.org to listen to the full podcast. And after the program, we will email you program evaluations, which are very important to us. If you have a couple of minutes, if you could fill that out, and afterward, we'll give you an opportunity to enter a monthly drawing for a $25 gift card. So without further ado, just a couple of words of introduction about Dr. Horton. Dr. Horton is an internationally board certified in plastic surgery with both the American Board of Plastic Surgery and the Royal College of Surgeons of Canada. Her private practice specializes in breast cancer reconstruction and cosmetic surgery for women. Her goal is to provide beautiful, natural, and long-lasting results using the most advanced microsurgical techniques that spare major muscles of the body, nipple preservation, and implants in a single stage. So without further delay, I'm honored to welcome Dr. Horton.
Click on that link. Okay, it looks like we are on. Okay, thank you, and thank you everybody for listening today. So today I'm going to be talking part two, using your own tissue to rebuild your breast. And I'm going to start just by mentioning that plastic surgery, and in particular breast reconstruction, it really is equal parts art and science. Your surgeon, of course, is a scientist. They are a critical thinker, they have an analytical mind, they have a perfectionistic attention to detail, but they also really need to be an artist, because breast reconstruction, if it's going to have beautiful results, requires an artistic talent of your surgeon, a vision. They need to be concerned with body image and self-esteem, and they also need to consider what I call the fourth dimension, which is time, gravity, aging, and then effects of radiation. So when we think about breast reconstruction, we really want to consider all of those things. Now, I have developed a pamphlet that educates about advanced breast reconstruction techniques, and we're going to be talking about some of those things today, because really, all women either who are facing breast cancer or who are considering a prophylactic mastectomy for risk reduction, they deserve the very best results. So what's new in breast reconstruction? You may or may not have heard a little bit about nipple-sparing mastectomy on the implant reconstruction section. I'm going to mention it just very briefly today. Single-stage implant reconstruction, hopefully you learned about, and you can always go to my website as well for some additional information. But today I'm going to be talking about flap reconstruction, and I'm also going to touch on using your own tissue, meaning if you only need a lumpectomy and radiation, we can still do a reconstruction just by rearranging the rest of your tissue. We'll talk a little bit about nipple reconstruction as well, and then again review talking about aesthetics. So, number one, why do we reconstruct the breast? When the breast is gone, you can no longer breastfeed, and you may lose erogenous sensation. But the breast still serves a function in terms of body image, self-esteem, feeling feminine, feeling complete. And if you have been going without breast reconstruction, you know that wearing that prosthetic in your bra, it's heavy, it can be sweaty, and you know, if you go swimming, you worry about it floating away in the pool. So by using your own tissue, you can throw away that prosthesis forever, which is another benefit. So the goals of breast reconstruction are to recreate the breast form considering four things. Aesthetics is number one for me. It has to look good. It should be symmetric. The reconstruction should have longevity, meaning we want you to be around for a long time. We want your breast reconstruction to look amazing forever with minimal morbidity. Now, morbidity is opposite from mortality. It means giving up function. So we don't want to sacrifice any major muscles of the body. When I meet a new patient, I ask, okay, if we could just wave a magic wand, how would you want your breasts to be? Would you want them to be larger, smaller, fuller, lifted? Because if you need to have breast reconstruction, you should really use it as an opportunity. And as one of my patients said, okay, let's make some lemonade out of lemons. So we consider all of those things. And I tell patients, I can really make you look any way you want to be. I grew up in Canada, and one of my Canadian friends sent this to me. And if your goal is to, you know, be very full and voluptuous, we can do that. So we really take our patients' goals in mind in planning their surgery. I just want to mention that if the reconstruction is only on one side, which is covered by insurance, by law, so is a balancing procedure for the other side. And it's often done at the same time as the reconstruction. And the balancing procedure could include a breast lift, a breast reduction, an augmentation, and any other procedures down the road. Say we do a flap reconstruction, but my patient wishes to be a little bit fuller. We can put implants underneath the flaps and achieve the effect of a breast augmentation, and that's also covered by insurance. So from a woman and from a woman surgeon's perspective, my goal is to find the best fit of the procedure for each patient. And we want to consider what's their body shape, what's their lifestyle, what are the details of the cancer, and have they had chemo, do they need chemo, and is radiation on board? And I've seen some of the questions come in already. I will talk about radiation and flaps. So you've heard a bit of an overview. I'm just going to go over this really quickly. Breast reconstruction can either be immediate, meaning at the same time as the mastectomy, or delayed, and there's absolutely no time limit. But if you have had radiation, we usually like to wait at least 6 months from the time that radiation has finished. And the methods of reconstruction can either be an implant or a flap, and a flap means using the body's own tissue. Implants you learned about last time, so I'm going to focus on flaps. Advantages of using your own tissue is that it's a permanent reconstruction. It's warm, it's soft, it's living tissue that moves with you when you change your body position. It grows with you if you gain weight or if you lose weight, it shrinks a little bit and it ages with you. However, it's not going to droop like a natural breast because all those suspensory ligaments that go out from the chest wall out to the skin and they get stretched out with as you age, they're not there. So you actually don't even need a bra if you don't want to wear a bra anymore. And it does last forever as opposed to implants where you might need more surgeries in your lifetime. And one other thing that's great about doing a flap is that if you have had radiation, if you have had implant complications, if you've lost skin, if you've had trouble with the healing, when we move new tissue into the area, it brings a whole new blood supply and new life to the area, and it can help to counteract some radiation and infection damage. The only disadvantages of doing a flap is that we do create what's called a donor site. So we have to take the tissue from somewhere, and that means additional scars, usually in the belly or sometimes in the thigh area. It is a slightly longer surgery. It's usually 4 hours for one side and 6 to 8 hours for a double procedure, and that includes the mastectomy if it's also done at the same time, and a slightly longer recovery, usually about 6 weeks. Before I let patients exercise and do whatever they want. But in reality, after any major surgery, including an implant reconstruction, it can take about a full year before you feel 100% healed. So flap reconstruction means using your body's own tissue. And we've talked about some of the advantages. The donor site is where we take the tissue from. So you can see the lady on the top. I'm going to back up 1 second. Lady on the top has some tummy tissue, and the lady on the bottom has some thigh tissue. So disclaimer, I was supposed to say that before I showed these pictures, but we do have some pictures of naked women where there's no faces showing, but we have some breasts and we have some tummy areas, which may include the pubic region. So if you're at work or if you need some privacy, just turn the screen around. If you don't want to see these photos, maybe you can just listen to the procedure, but I will be showing a lot of before and after photos. I'm going to go through them very quickly. But if you choose to review them later on, they will be on the Living Beyond Breast Cancer website soon. So usually we take the tissue either from the tummy or the thighs in my practice, but we can also take it from the buttocks, we can take it from the back, and there are some procedures that take it from the outer thighs as well. So the very first flaps that were used for reconstruction about 30, 35 years ago always used a muscle to carry the blood supply, and that's called a pedicled flap, where the muscle holds the blood supply that brings the tissue to the chest. And it's usually either from the tummy, and that's called the tram flap, or from the back, and that's called the latissimus flap. Now, all of these procedures can be performed by any plastic surgeon. They don't have to have special training. They don't have to be a microsurgeon. And they are good procedures. However, they do permanently sacrifice a muscle from the body. So in my practice, I will take a muscle as a last resort if there's no other options, and I'm not saying they're a bad option, but there are some better ones that can preserve your muscle function. So the pedicle tram flap takes the lower abdominal skin and fat, it moves it up to the chest using your rectus abdominis muscle as a carrier, and that's the muscle that provides the six-pack, and you can see on the procedure on the right, basically that woman is missing her whole entire half of her abdominal wall. And even though it provides a nice breast reconstruction, the problem is that you can develop weakness, particularly if both muscles are taken. You can have a bulge, because if you think about it, you've lost your resting tone of your core, and you could have a hernia. So these are reasons why this is lower on my list, because I'm also a microsurgeon of what I offer to my patients. But it is a well-described procedure, it is a good procedure, and there's various ways to get around treating a bulge or a hernia if it does occur. But I am a microsurgeon, so I want to talk to you a lot about microsurgery today. Microsurgery involves using magnification, either our funny microscope glasses or the operating microscope, to reconnect blood vessels and sometimes nerves under the microscope. And microsurgery is used, for instance, if you cut off your thumb and you need it sewn back on. And it does require special training, so not all plastic surgeons are microsurgeons, but all microsurgeons are plastic surgeons. And it requires specialized equipment. It's usually performed at hospitals that do a lot of microsurgery. So either an academic center or the place where I bring my patients in San Francisco, which is where microsurgery was born 40 years ago. So when we use microsurgery for breast reconstruction, we only take the skin and the fat. We leave the muscles alone. And this is a diagram of basically the flap. Then this would be the same skin and fat as a tram flap, but it only takes the tissue based on blood vessels. And we usually take it on one or two little blood vessels that go into the tissue. It's time consuming, it's not offered at all the hospitals, but it is currently the best option that we can offer women, and it is thankfully becoming more popular. So advantages of doing a microvascular transplant, which is called a free flap because we transplant it free in the air, is all the other advantages of a flap, but it avoids sacrificing muscle. So the best option using your abdominal tissue is called the deep flap, and it stands for the deep inferior epigastric artery perforator. That's the blood vessel that supplies the blood supply to that tissue. Same skin and fat as a tram, same skin and fat that we throw away in a tummy tuck, but it does not sacrifice any muscle. It's a much faster recovery than a tram, and it's much less pain than a tram. Patients usually in my practice are in the hospital for 5 to 7 days. They go home on Tylenol or nothing for pain, and it's a pretty smooth recovery. Physically, emotionally, can be a big recovery, and again, we don't want patients to exercise for at least 6 weeks afterwards. So again, using the DIEP flap, we take all the tummy tissue away. We only take what we need to make a new breast, but we still take away as much skin and fat as we can. There is another abdominal option, which is called the SIEA flap. It's the same abdominal skin and fat, but there is a little superficial artery as opposed to the deep artery, and really only 30% of people have a blood vessel which is large enough to use. We always look for it. If we see it, we say, great, option number one. We usually look at the deep vessel as well, and usually one of the two systems is dominant, and we will take whichever one provides the best blood supply. Again, it does not sacrifice any muscle or fascia, and it does require a microvascular transplant. The results are exactly the same, and the recovery is also the same. So, diagrammatically, here is the difference between a DIEP flap on the left side, which only takes the skin and fat based on blood vessels, and then the TRAM flap, which uses the entire muscle and usually a layer of the fascia over top of it to carry the blood supply. And again, here's the DIEP flap turned upside down. This is what we take. And we can usually take, it's divided into zones. We can usually take the zone immediately where the blood vessels are going into it and one zone on each side. We usually discard the zone of tissue which is furthest away so that we don't have improper healing of the fat, which is called fat necrosis. We want to only transplant good, healthy tissue. So once we've disconnected the blood supply, like in the last slide, we bring it up to the chest, and then we reconstruct the blood supply under the microscope, and that's called microvascular anastomosis. We sew the blood vessels together under the microscope using microsuture, which is thinner than your hair, and the diameter of the blood vessels is usually 2 to 3 millimeters. We do this in a team. There's usually two microsurgeons working together, and every single time we do this, we go, wow, that is so cool. Usually do one or two of these a week. Just diagrammatically difference between the superficial and the deep flap. And here's a few examples. So this lady had a breast cancer on her left breast. You can see her lumpectomy scar. She's large-breasted. She did not want to be any different. We've taken her abdominal tissue, and you can see she has a scar that goes from hip to hip. It's hidden low. It'll be hidden in her bathing suit bottom. She has a scar around her belly button. We've redraped her abdominal wall, and her tummy looks tauter and leaner, and the scar was actually hidden underneath her breast. She has had a nipple-sparing mastectomy. Another example of a bilateral, both sides, nipple-sparing mastectomies. She's only a month out from surgery. She still has swelling of her abdominal wall. You can see little kind of corners on the ends of the incision. Those are called dog ears, and they're usually just related to swelling. They usually shrink and go away to nothing. But you can see her breasts look almost exactly the same. So using your own tissue can give you the best cosmetic results with the benefit of a tuck somewhere else. This lady had an overabundance of tissue. She chose to have a breast lift on the other side. We did a DIEP flap. Her breast cancer was on her right side, and then we did make her a new nipple and areola. So here's a few other examples, a delayed reconstruction. I'm just going to go through them quickly. If you want to review them, they'll be on the Living Beyond Breast Cancer website later, and then you can also go to my website. We can make implant reconstructions that don't look very good look great. And this lady chose to have her left-sided implant exchanged for a flap, and then she decided to have a preventative mastectomy on the other side. So she actually has two DIEP flaps now. And again, you can see how much we can transform a woman's body. She's had a lift on the other side. She's had a flap. So we can really restore the body, give a really nice result, and help women move forward. So here's a few other examples of DIEP flaps. Again, changing from an implant, which wasn't great. This was the original tissue expander she had for 13 years. And when I met her, I'm like, why do you still have the tissue expander? She said, well, this is as good as it's going to be. Why would I want to have any more surgery? And we changed it to a flap. Implants that are not great, like you can see here, we can change implants to flaps. So if you have an implant reconstruction and you're not happy, it can certainly be modified. Here's a few more examples. So, what if you've already had a tummy tuck? What if you've already had a TRAM or a deep and you need a new reconstruction? Or say you're just one of those people who naturally has a washboard stomach, but you got some thighs. Then we take the inner thigh tissue, and that's called the TUG, which stands for the transverse upper gracilis flap. It is a crescent of skin and fat from the upper inner thigh. It is also a microvascular transplant, and an advantage of doing this procedure is that we can make a nipple and an areola at the same time. So here's an ideal candidate. Personal trainer, washboard stomach, but she has good thighs. And this would be for pear habitus rather than a sort of apple body type, and for women who also don't want a major muscle sacrificed. Here's a few other candidates. So one woman has had multiple abdominal surgery. We could have done a deep, but we chose not to. And all of these women, another lady had a tummy tuck. They're great candidates for the TUG flap. So when we do the TUG flap, we take a crescent of skin and fat from the upper inner thigh, and that's the fat that you can grab. And if you think, oh, if I didn't have that fat, I would have a really nice thigh gap. Well, guess what? This procedure gives you a nice thigh gap. Now, in this procedure, we do take a very small piece of the gracilis muscle, and I need to explain why. I have been discouraging use of a major muscle of the body if you can avoid it, like the lat. The latissimus muscle is the biggest muscle in your body, and we will use it, for instance, to reconstruct the leg or the scalp if you've had a major trauma. But in the breast, there's no muscle, and so if you don't need to sacrifice a major muscle, don't do it. With the gracilis flap, we do take a very small piece of the muscle just to ensure that there's good blood flow to the flap, and there's no consequence to taking that muscle. And we know that because we transplant the whole gracilis muscle all the time in other areas of microsurgery, for instance, to reconstruct the leg or to give motion back to the forearm. And we know when we take the whole muscle, it's not missed because you have your other adductor muscles, adductor magnus, adductor longus. Gracilis is a teeny little strap muscle. So we do take a small piece, usually what is only under the flap. Now, I do have a couple of pictures of surgery. It's not going to be gory, so don't worry about saying, oh, it's tissue. I just wanted to show you what the flap looks like. So this is the flap. It's been harvested. It's on the back table, and I want to show you what is so great about the TUG flap. You take the crescent and you cone it, and that's what gives a beautiful breast shape. It gives excellent projection, and on the table, you see it. The first time we did this, we go, oh my God, that looks like a nipple. Well, we decided to use that tissue. The picture on the bottom shows a skin-sparing mastectomy where we've removed all the skin of the flap, tucked it underneath, but we've accentuated that dog ear, which is called the standing cone, to make a new nipple. So with the TUG flap, we can make a new nipple and an areola at the same time. And what's also really cool is that the inner thigh skin has natural darker coloring. So we don't always need to do a tattoo because sometimes it just ends up being a little bit darker. Now, the donor site is what many women worry about, and I say it will be hidden in most of your clothing except your bathing suit or your underwear. The scar in the front lies a little bit below your natural groin crease, and the reason for that is we don't want to pull the vulva down. And in the back, you can't even see it. It hides in the butt crease, but you will have a nice thigh gap. Now, if we only do one side, like in this picture, usually have a little bit of asymmetry, and only about 50% of patients say it bothers them. If it bothers them, we can do a bit of liposuction to even it out. But again, there's no loss of function when you take a little bit of gracilis muscle. There's been no seromas, which is a fluid collection. There's been no evidence of lymphedema, and I've done probably about 150 of these. There's no permanent sensory loss or numbness. And again, we give patients the option of donor site contouring on the other thigh maybe about 6 months later. We would not do it at the same time because we want to have a backup flap just in case. So here's some examples. This lady has had a bilateral, both sides, nipple sparing mastectomy and TUG flap. She's about 2 months out. You can see the scars are still pink. This lady had skin sparing mastectomies. We made new nipples. The nipples are made out of her thigh tissue, and we did go ahead to do tattoo. This lady has not had any tattoo. She's swimming. She looks great. And we used all of her own tissue. And this lady has had multiple lumpectomies, radiation. You can see thighs are no longer touching. And we did both sides using her inner thigh tissue. Here's our washboard abs. We can use this for a delayed reconstruction as well. And again, after implant problems, we can do some really great reconstructions just using the thigh tissue. It does provide a little bit smaller flap than the DIP, and I'll mention other things we can do to even things out. But I want to answer the question I saw already about radiation. What if you've had radiation? Can you have a flap? Yes, of course. We want to do a flap if you've had radiation. But what if you know you need radiation? Can you still do a flap? Well, in my practice, I am very comfortable doing a flap and then radiating it. The radiation will not kill the flap. It will shrink it, usually 5 up to 20%, just depending on your body's response to the radiation. And so we can do a flap, we can radiate it, and then it will be fine. So here, her flap, we've made it because we knew she was going to need radiation, about 20% bigger than we wanted it to be. Here's at the end of radiation, it shrinks, and now it's shrunk to be very good and symmetric. And this is before we did her nipple and areola. And here's another example where she's had radiation. She's has a bit of a sunburn as well, but we did her flap. She had it radiated, and we have good symmetry. So I just want to mention really quickly on using your own tissue, but after lumpectomy, and I call that local tissue rearrangement. Not everybody needs a mastectomy. Not everybody wants a mastectomy. And some women naturally have large breasts, and they wouldn't mind being smaller or lifted. So we can do the breast reconstruction either by a reduction or a lift, either before or after the radiation. We basically rearrange the rest of your breast tissue to give you a reduction or a lift, and we do it on both sides for symmetry. This lady already had a lumpectomy and radiation. She was left with deformity. We basically just rearranged the rest of her breast tissue to give her a nice lift on the cancer side and did a breast reduction on the other side. This lady knew that she needed she needed a lumpectomy and radiation, so we did the procedure, and then she proceeded to have radiation afterwards. Again, this is after a lumpectomy radiation. We've rearranged the tissue, and if you look really closely, you can see the left side is sitting slightly higher. The scars actually look a little bit nicer on the radiated side because radiation is a treatment for scars. And I know there was another question about keloid scars. Radiation scars always look better. Another lady who had a lumpectomy, and she actually had brachytherapy, which is possible as well. So here's a few other examples I'm going to go through quickly. If you've already had lumpectomy radiation, we can even things out and do a balancing procedure on the other side as well. So lots of examples. I want to get to nipple and areola reconstruction because this is something that really is the finishing touch. It puts the icing on the cake, and if women do not go on and have nipple and areola reconstruction, that usually means that they're not happy with their results. I just want my patients to move forward and to feel normal and natural and not like a Barbie doll with no nipple. So the traditional way of making a new nipple is using what's called a local flap. And I also have some diagrams and a few pictures of surgery for you to see. So usually we wait at least 3 to 6 months after the reconstruction is done, and this is the same technique we can use either for implant reconstruction or using a flap. We basically lift up three little wings of a star, and it's called the modified star flap. There's all different techniques you can use. And it's almost like origami. We're basically creating a box of tissue using your own tissue. And usually we do the nipple first, we let it heal for at least 2 months, and then we do the medical tattoo afterwards. There are other options like using some cartilage or using earlobe tissue. There are some implantable devices that I've tried, but really the best results are using your body's own tissue. And I prefer to do a medical tattoo rather than taking a skin graft because you don't want to take skin from your groin or your labia. And using a medical tattoo, we can really match it up to the other side. And if we're only doing one side, I usually do a little bit of tattoo on the other nipple and areola as well, just for the best symmetry. So here's a step-by-step how we do it. And in this instance, I actually did the tattoo and the making the nipple all at the same time. So you see on the top left, we've drawn the little modified star flap. I've pigmented it with the tattoo. We make incisions. We rearrange it. And then we do the areola tattoo as well. Now, if there's a normal, healthy tissue on one side, and if it's big enough to be split into two, then the best way to make a nipple is using what I call nipple sharing or a nipple-free graft. And we just basically take a little piece of the nipple from the other side, usually from the undersurface. It will not affect sensation. The other nipple is rearranged, and basically it's just cut into two. We move it over. It heals as a graft, and it's about 99% successful. And then we do a medical tattoo over top of it, and it looks like you've had a nipple sparing mastectomy. So if there is one nipple left, then that's what I recommend doing. If you are planning on breastfeeding, I would avoid doing that. Wait until you've finished having all your children, because there is a slight chance that in future breastfeeding, the nipple might not be able to get out if there's scar there. So I also want to mention some second stage procedures after we do the flap reconstruction, because we do the flap, and that's not always the end of the story. The flaps can look good, but say a woman's natural breast size was a D cup, and say she only had enough tummy tissue or thigh tissue to make her a B cup. Well, we can do other things to help get her body image back. And again, I mentioned they're covered by insurance. So we can put implants under a flap. We can do what's called lipofilling or free fat grafting. It's very difficult to build a whole breast only using fat grafting, but we can fill in little areas or hollows. We can do scar revisions, and we can also do donor site contouring using liposuction. So here's a lady who started off with a lot of asymmetry. She was very droopy. She thought she wanted to be smaller. We did bilateral DIEP flaps. She lived that way for about a year or two, and she said, you know what? I really miss my volume. I'm not filling up my bras. I think this, you know, bigger breasts fit my body image. I said, no problem. We put implants under the flap at the same time as we did nipples and areolas, and she's back to how she always wanted to be. Here's another example of a woman who had a lumpectomy, radiation, implant, reconstruction. We ended up doing a DIEP flap only on the cancer side, and we put implants in on both sides, and that enabled her to fill out her bra a little bit better. Here's a lady who had a lot of implant problems. She basically came to me with an open wound. We did a number of procedures to prepare her for her final result. We did the tug flap on both sides, and then we put implants under both tugs. She's young, she's single, and now she's back in action, and she says most of the time she forgets she ever had breast cancer, which is the best compliment I could ever receive. Here's another example of a woman who had a tug flap. We decided not to do the lift at the same time just because she lived out of town and we wanted to minimize the number of trips she needed back here. We put an implant under the tug. We did a lift on the other side. And again, thinking about donor sites, we always want the scar to be low, 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 hidden in the underwear. Currently, the style is for low-cut jeans, low-cut panties. However, I always ask my patients, what cut bathing suit do you wear? If you like to wear the high French cut, we can design the scar to fit into your garment. So there's not a one-size-fits-all. This lady had a failed implant. We did a DIEP, and then we came back later and did some donor site contouring, and it really makes her overall body shape that much better. So considering aesthetics is number one to me. Technically, you have to go to a surgeon who knows what they're doing. They need to have a good success rate. But after all that, what's most important to you as the patient is the outcome. And for me, as a provider of care, I really want breast reconstruction to be a positive experience. We either want to preserve body image if a woman's having an immediate reconstruction, or we want to help them regain their body image. And it's also an emotional recovery, as I mentioned. The physical recovery, you know, you can have some fatigue, you can be tired, not a lot of discomfort. And there was one thing I was supposed to touch on is the impact that any type of flap reconstruction will have on your recovery, long-term physical health, range of motion. There should be zero problems with range of motion, and you should get back to doing all of your regular activities. And I always joke with my patients that if their golf swing improves, I want to take credit, although it's probably not related at all. And I really maintain the same aesthetic goals for my breast reconstruction patients as I do for cosmetic procedures. And I could look at a DIEP flap donor site, the belly, and not know whether it's a tummy tuck or a DIEP flap because I treat them exactly the same. So I strive to achieve the best aesthetic outcome in a single surgery if possible. Breast reconstruction should be rewarding, and we've talked about the emotional recovery and body image. And it's a team effort. I'm the surgeon. I have a microsurgical partner, but it really is everybody involved in the care of patients who makes it happen. So that's everything I have to say to you. I'm happy to open up to questions, and I'm on the phone for at least another 20 minutes or however long that we have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Horton, for that wonderful presentation that was really specific with photographs that can really help people imagine how things might look. And we do have a good 25 minutes for questions, which
okay.
is wonderful. Diego, if you could please give the listeners information about how to ask their questions by email, and by phone.
Thank you. We'll now conduct a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question by phone, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate that your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 to remove yourself from the queue. Once again, to ask your question over the phone, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To submit your questions online, use the Ask a Question feature on the left side of your screen. Thank you.
Thanks, Diego. And I would just ask everyone, if possible, to try to frame your questions generally so as many people can benefit from Dr. Horton's answers as possible. So while we're polling for questions, I'm going to take one of the questions that we got online, Dr. Horton, which is, are there any long-term issues with autologous reconstruction that you are aware of?
No, there really aren't. Other than you take the tissue from one part of the body, you move it over to another, it's essentially a transplant. But instead of transplanting from one person to another person, it's from one part of your body to another part of your body. So there's zero chance of rejection. As long as it's healthy tissue, it'll all heal well. If there's an area of the fat or the skin that doesn't get a good blood supply, the skin could die and it could make a scab. And when fat dies, it's called fat necrosis, that can end up with a very large, hard lump. Now, no woman who's either had breast cancer or did this because they didn't want breast cancer wants a lump. So if an area of fat necrosis ever occurs, usually what we do is we go back to the operating room, we excise it, and then we either rearrange the rest of the tissue or fill in that gap either with an implant if it's a large area or a little bit of free fat grafting. But there's no long-range problems in terms of range of motion or activity as long as you don't sacrifice a major muscle. If you do take the back muscle, you might not be able to do your lat pull downs or do, you know, rock climbing. And if you take both rectus abdominis muscles, for instance, in a bilateral tram, you probably are not going to be able to do a sit-up.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Horton. That's very helpful. Diego, can we take the first phone question?
Our first question on the phone comes from Helen, calling from Chelmsford, Massachusetts. Please state your question.
Hi, my name is Helen, and I have had metastatic breast cancer since November of 2007. At this point in time, I've only had Herceptin and radiation in 2007. I still get Herceptin every 3 weeks via my PortaCath. I feel like I'm going to be living with this as a chronic disease. Mm-hmm. And what is your experience and recommendations for a woman? I'm 50 years old. I'm in good shape. What would your recommendations be? And if you have reconstruction being metastatic, this is going to sound stupid, but because I don't know any better, is it more likely to bring the cancer back in a more aggressive way?
Well, thanks, Helen. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Helen, for that information. And no question is stupid. And that's a fear. If you have known metastatic disease, should you have reconstruction? It's a judgment call. I have done reconstruction on quite a few women with metastatic disease, and I think you have the right frame of mind. It's a chronic disease, you know, maybe like think about like hepatitis. You live with it, and you know, what else are you going to do? So I would offer you reconstruction, definitely. Now, not all surgeons or oncologists might feel the same way, and I don't know what the answer is. Is it going to create a huge inflammatory response in the body and wake something up? Well, we don't know. But I don't think it's a reason not to have surgery. I think you need to look at all the options, look at, you know, what do I want to do? Do I want to go on vacation? Do I want to have surgery? Is at least six weeks of initial recovery and then maybe up to a full year of feeling tired and, you know, recovering worth it for you? And if it is, as long as you know what all the pros and cons are and you find a team that you feel comfortable with, I would say go for it.
Thanks, Dr. Horton, and thanks so much, Helen, for your really important question. And definitely no question is stupid at all, so I'm glad we had a chance to address your question. I'm going to take one of the online questions next. Dr. Horton, one of our listeners is asking, how do you find a microsurgeon that does the forms of breast reconstruction you've been discussing? And then an additional question is, in general, how do you find out more about breast reconstructive surgeons' qualifications?
Great question. Well, back in the olden days, you would just have to ask for a referral and maybe you'd be given one or two names by your breast surgeon, and that would be it. nowadays, thank God we have the internet, although there's lots of stuff on the internet which is good information and then some which is not. For microsurgeons who do a lot of breast reconstruction, they usually have a lot of information on their website. There is a site which is called DIEPsisters.com, I think, or maybe .org. Anyway, just look up DIEP Sisters. Usually, if a surgeon does a lot of breast reconstruction, they get contacted by that site and they're listed. There's also the American Society of Reconstructive Microsurgery, and I think their website is microsurge.org. You can look up ASRM and also add microsurgery to your search. And you can find surgeons that are members. If a microsurgeon does a lot of microsurgery, they're probably a member of that organization. But it really will take a lot of research, you know, maybe breastcancer.org or, you know, the Living Beyond Breast Cancer resources. But do your homework. Ask how many flaps have they done. If it's less than 50, they're either brand new in practice or they don't do that often, or they don't do that many. And they should probably do, I would guess, at least 20 a year. Anybody who's done at least 100 of a surgery can be proficient at it, but you want to know what their complication rates are. In the literature, it should be well less than 5% for microsurgeons who do a lot of microsurgery. Their complication rate should be 1 to 2% or less. And it's really important to do your homework because you want to. It's your body, and you don't want to undergo a procedure blind. Do your homework, ask around, and unfortunately, not all states have microsurgeons who do a lot of this procedure. So I have a lot of patients who come from Hawaii, they come from other local states, and you know, sometimes it's worth traveling for. But do your homework and take your time. You're welcome to go on my website. It's listed on the screen. You can see it. And you know, say you see a surgeon in consultation, you want to know if I know them, send me an email and I'll say, yeah, I know him, yeah, good guy or good girl, or maybe here's a couple other names you should see if you're on the other end of the country.
Thanks, Dr. Horton. Diego, let's take the next phone call, please.
Our next question comes from Rita, calling from Lewiston, New York. Please state your question.
If you are unusually thin, is the flap or taking skin method available?
So the question is, if you're very thin,
what are the options available in terms of using your own tissue?
So as long as you can pinch an area of skin and fat between two hands, that's basically how much tissue you have. For, and I'm actually giving a presentation on this at the Barcelona breast meeting coming up, on doing flaps in very thin women. We can still do a flap, but we might only get you, say, to an A cup. And if your goal is to be fuller, as long as we get a little bit of tissue up there, and as long as we can close the donor site and the incisions aren't going to be too tight, we can still do a reconstruction using your own tissue, get a little bit of padding up there, and then basically we could treat the area like, you know, a very small breast. We could put an implant underneath if we needed a little bit more tissue. So you really would need to get an evaluation by a breast reconstruction surgeon who has a lot of experience, who's done really thin patients, and who can give you their honest opinion. So it is possible. However, if doing a flap is not possible, we could do implants, or as I said, as a last resort, we could do something like the latissimus flap and put an implant underneath. So we still do have some other options, even if you're extremely thin.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Dr. Horton, and thanks, Rita, for your question. So I'm going to take the next question online. One of our listeners is asking, do you recommend reconstruction at the same time as breast surgery or after surgery? And I would also add to that, are there situations where it would be impossible to do an immediate breast reconstruction?
That is an excellent question. So my global answer is, of course, if we can do reconstruction at the same time, we definitely want to. And the reasons for that is that it's one surgery, it's one recovery, you don't undergo the period of loss where you go, oh my God, it looks terrible, and you can get back in action sooner. However, there are some situations where it's not recommended, and they're pretty few and far between, and it's usually the breast surgeon who's planning on doing the mastectomy or the oncologist who says, no, we need to get to the operating room ASAP, like tomorrow or in 2 days. Or say it's a patient who has a lot of comorbidities, meaning they have diabetes and high blood pressure and they're really obese and we're worried about them having complications. Sometimes it's best to do the mastectomy and then maybe treat them with chemo, radiation, or anything else they might need to do, and then do a reconstruction later. So I don't play a very active role in making that decision other than I tell my patients, well, if we can, I'd love to do it right away, but it's a judgment call and it really depends on the cancer treatment and sometimes on other health-related issues. But I'd say if we're able to do it 95% of the time, we would do it immediately.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Horton. Diego, can we take the next phone call, please? Diego, can we take the next caller, please? While we're waiting for Diego, I'll give another one of the online questions. So we have a couple of questions that are similar. One of our listeners is saying that she's 70 years old and she had a large number of lymph nodes removed along with one breast 15 years ago. And she's concerned about getting lymphedema after surgery. And she's also asking whether she's too old for breast reconstruction.
Oh, I'm so happy you answered that question. Those are excellent questions. Number one, I'll answer the second question first. There's no age limit. I've done a DIEP flap on an 82-year-old who looked like she was 60 and acted like she was 40. It really depends. Age is just a number. It depends on how healthy you are and what you want to do with your time. You know, if you are having trouble walking and if you're not wanting to undergo surgery, well, then don't have surgery. But if you're a young 70-year-old and you're vital, and of course we can do it. There's really no age limit. And for the first question, can you remind me what it was? Lymphedema.
Yes.
If you've never had lymphedema, doing surgery is not going to cause lymphedema. Lymphedema is basically like blocked plumbing. And when we do a DIEP flap, we usually reconnect the blood vessels that are closer to the sternum. On occasion, we might hook up an additional blood vessel in the armpit. But if we dissect into the armpit area, it's very gentle. We're not dividing any lymphatics. And it will not create lymphedema if you've never had it.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Horton. Diego, could we take the next phone call, please?
Our next question comes from Joy, calling from Wincote, Pennsylvania. Please state your question. Sure, your line is open.
Joy, are you there? We're sorry about that, Joy. So I'm going to take another question from our online queue. There's a number of listeners who are asking about problems with scarring or stretch marks on the stomach and whether that tissue can be used to do a successful breast reconstruction, whether tissue should be taken from another area of the body because of stretch marks or scarring in the stomach.
Okay, great. Great question. So first of all, scars are basically a window to what surgery may have happened underneath. If you've had a C-section, no problem. If you've had a hysterectomy and it's just a short scar above the pubic area, no problem. If your abdomen has been opened up for, say, emergency laparotomy or exploration, then we have to think, oh, maybe the surgeon has injured some of the other blood vessels in the area. We could do some imaging, something like a CT scan or an MRI sometimes to look at the blood vessels, but it really is a judgment call, and only in women, for instance, one of the pictures I showed of a lady who had basically train tracks all over her abdomen, we decided not to use it. But usually having little scars or any type of laparoscopy, little incisions, it makes no difference. And again, you would have to see a surgeon who has a lot of experience operating on scarred abdomens, but it doesn't take it away as an option. The other question, can you tell me what it was again?
So the other question was about stretch marks.
Oh, the stretch marks, thank you. So a stretch mark is only in the dermis. So you have two layers of skin. You have your epidermis, which is the skin you can see, and you have the dermis, which is the thick layer underneath. A stretch mark happens from rapid expansion of skin, usually from pregnancy or sometimes from weight gain, and it's a little tear in the dermis that gets filled in with scar. It has nothing to do with the tissue underneath. So if you have stretch marks and you don't want them anymore, I say, sure, let's use that tissue. if you are going to have part of your flap which is showing on the outside, say you've had a mastectomy already and you don't have a lot of skin, it's possible that some of the stretch marks might end up showing at the bottom part of the breast, but at least you won't have them on your abdomen anymore. But it certainly will not take away a flap as an option. And if you have lots of stretch marks, you probably have lots of good fat to use, so we should use it.
Thanks so much, Dr. Horton. Actually, that's a good leeway to the next question. Mm-hmm. Online, one person is asking, are there instances where the abdomen is too large to perform a tram or a deep procedure?
Great question. And this brings me to the patient I did yesterday. I did a very nice young woman, BRCA positive. She'd already had her mastectomy 2 years ago. Her body mass index, BMI, is over 40. She is very obese. Unfortunately, she was not offered reconstruction at her other setting. She found me online, and when she came to see me, she said, can you do DIP flaps? I said, yes, we can, but you have a higher risk of complications of healing at the abdominal donor site. So, yes, of course we can do a flap. I usually don't make patients, you know, lose weight, but I want them to be fit and healthy. This woman power walks. She's, you know, been to Weight Watchers, and for some reason, that's just the weight at which her body is staying, even though she's fit and she's healthy and she's active. Fine, that's the baseline. What I do counsel patients is that the more fat you have in the belly, it's a thicker layer of fat that has blood vessels that have to travel a longer distance to make it up to the skin. And in women who are morbidly obese, and that I think that's a BMI of greater than 30 or greater than 35, they have about a 50% chance of wound healing problems down at the abdomen, and that means that about a month or so, the incisions might open up, they might have some areas of fat that liquefies, and we might have to pack the incision and get it to heal in on its own. That could take several weeks. But there's no problem with doing the reconstruction, and usually their breasts look fabulous. The only potential problem could be at the donor site. And as long as they know all that going in, and they say, okay, well, I'm willing to undergo that risk, and if I do have some delayed healing and need to pack my wounds, they'll eventually heal, and if they're okay with it, then it's fine to proceed. But we did two flaps. One was 1,300 grams. The other one was 1,200 grams. And we had an extra, I think, 1,800 grams of tissue that we threw away. 2.2 pounds per kilogram. We were operating on at least 10 to 12 pounds of tissue yesterday. So there's really no limit, but they have to be healthy enough to undergo surgery.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Horton. Diego, can we take the next phone call, please?
Yes, our next question comes from Linda, calling from Reidsville, North Carolina. Please state your question.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Horton. I'm 70 years old. I've had a partial mastectomy, and I went to see a plastic surgeon, and he told me that Medicare would not cover, you know, Medicare with my regular AARP insurance would not cover that because it was considered cosmetic. You have said that it's covered by insurance by law. So is there a difference between Medicare and regular people, young people's insurance?
To my knowledge, there is not. And I would go to your insurance company. They usually have a patient advocate. But there are, it was actually thanks to the California's Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger back in 1996, he made a law that spread to the rest of the country, and I forget what the law is called, but you can look it up online, just do a Google search of a woman's right to breast reconstruction, and many sites have it listed on their website. It's a document, and I've never heard that before. My only guess is that that surgeon may have been incorrect, or maybe they don't want to do it for Medicare.
Yeah, okay. That's probably the
latter. Find somebody who will.
Okay. Well, I'll have to visit California.
No, you're welcome to fly out here. I know some great surgeons in South Carolina. South Carolina that I could refer you to if you email me.
Okay. Thank you for your question, Linda, and thank you, Dr. Horton. We actually have quite a few questions from individuals online who are asking about difficulties with insurance paying, and I'm going to ask one more of them as a follow-up. For people who are not happy with their original reconstruction, if they wanted to go back and have more surgery, do you know if that is covered by insurance?
Oh, yes. You're covered
process?
For life. Once you have had either the C word, or if you've ever had a procedure, you know, for instance, prophylactic mastectomy or any type of mastectomy, lumpectomy, you're covered for life. Not all plastic surgeons want to take insurance. Not all plastic surgeons want to do revisions. But, you know, there's some of us out there, and I tell patients, of course, you know, I'm happy to do a touch-up or a revision for insurance. It's the law. And the other question about insurance coverage, you know, not every state is different. It's really annoying. There's all different plans, and some of the plans cover some things. Some plans don't cover others, and not all plastic surgeons take all the insurance plans. Let me tell you that as a plastic surgeon, who I also do cosmetic surgery, but half my practice is breast reconstruction and half is cosmetic surgery, I don't count on the reconstructive surgery to bring in any good money. It really does not pay well. So most plastic surgeons who do reconstruction, they do it because they like it and they think it's important. But not all plastic surgeons want to do it because it really the reimbursements are terrible and they're going down all the time. So that's a reason why many plastic surgeons either go out of network or they decide to just be cash only. And you know, there are good options of surgeons in network. You just have to do some homework.
Thanks, Dr. Horton. Let's go to our last question, which is a phone question. Diego?
This question comes from Brenda, calling from Chandler, Arizona. Please state your question. Brenda, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes,
hi, please. Brenda. You're live.
Hi. Thank you. Wow. Dr. Horton, I have a question. I had my D-flap surgery on February 9th, and I was in and out of the operating room 3 times. So I almost lost my right breast. I had a bilateral. I had my expanders in for over a year. So my concern is the scars are very terrible. The right breast still oozes out. I'm still losing, you know, blood and fluid in that right breast. Does it seem like I might have to have more surgery before I can even have my area repaired?
So when you've had some return trips to the operating room and, you know, you're still healing, you know, early February, we're not even at the end of February, I say give it time. Give it at least a year for everything to heal. What you see right now, they're wounds. They're not even considered scars. It takes at least 3 months for the body to make a scar, and then it takes at least a full year for the scars to be mature. So are you going to need to have more surgery? Well, we can't tell, but I would just put it on the shelf, try to get through your recovery, eventually get back to your life and all your regular activities, and just say, you know what, from the time that all your wounds are healed or your last surgery, whenever that was, give it a year and then reassess, because even if things look really gory and scary right now, usually they end up looking a lot better. And if you do need any minor touch-ups, they usually are pretty minor outpatient procedures and the recovery is pretty easy.
Is it normal to already have fat necrosis setting up?
If you were going to develop fat necrosis, it probably wouldn't be evident for several months anyway. So also give it time, and if you do develop fat necrosis, that could certainly be removed and you could have a revision as needed.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much, Brenda, for your question. And with that, we're going to have to close. I want to thank everyone for your wonderful questions. I'm sorry that we were unable to get to everyone's questions. Dr. Horton may get back to some of you about your specific questions. And I did want to let all of you know that these slides are going to be available at lbbc.org. After the presentation, a number of you had asked about that. You should be able to access it. And also, if you joined us late, there will be a recording of this session that you can access at lbbc.org. So we hope you'll visit us there. So in closing, on behalf of Living Beyond Breast Cancer, I really want to thank Dr. Horton for giving of her time and expertise today. And again, I also would like to thank Mentor and the Plastic Surgery Foundation for the financial support that made this webinar possible. Just a few closing reminders. We will be sending you an evaluation that we strongly encourage you to respond to if you have a couple of minutes. And finally, for peer emotional support at any time, we encourage you to call our breast cancer helpline at 888-753-5222 to speak with a volunteer. Our volunteers are available from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday to answer your call live. So thanks again to everyone, and have a great day.
This does conclude today's conference. Please disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.